They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining us today, we have Dr. Gary Solomon. He's a published author, a tenured psychology professor at the College of Southern Nevada. He's a psychotherapist, a researcher, an expert witness, and a human rights advocate. So, of course, he's going to be on our show. Thank you so much, Dr. Solomon.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I'm honored.
We're having a little problems with the sound quality here.
Okay, how's that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
You have authored, and by the way, we should let our audience know that you're actually doing this interview from the classroom with your students there, and they may actually jump in and say something at some point during the interview. So that's going to be fun. And a little different than anything I've done before. So,
just so you know, we're at the College of Southern Nevada, which is in Nevada, and we're in a psychology classroom.
Okay, you need to do some adjusting again there.
Okay, how's that?
Okay, that's better. Seem to fade in and out. All right. You said you were in the classroom?
We're at the classroom at the College of Nevada, and I'm in Henderson's Method of the College of Southern Nevada, which is located in Nevada.
And you've written two papers about HOAs in particular. One of them is about the abuses that occur in HOAs across the board, and the other one is about elder abuse in associations. And from what I gathered, just reading them, you moved into an association and started noticing things around you. Nothing actually happened to you, did it? Or did it?
Nothing happened to me personally. I was interested in studying the psychiatric impact of homeowners association. So I quite intentionally used the environment that I was in as, if you will, a field study. And I have studied them for about 2 years, along with five other homeless associations. And I was interested in the psychiatric impact that homeowners associations had on individuals living in those associations. And so I began those studies quite slowly with me attending HOA meetings. I would communicate by phone, by letter. I would oftentimes talk with people in various neighborhoods to find out what they were going through, and then began doing my research, which will culminate next year in both a book as well as research documents on the physical impact, the psychiatric physical stress impact that homeowners associations are having on residents.
So this is basically a first step. Is that there's more to come? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I think that I'm coming to the end of the study. I will be complete by the end of this year. The effects on the brain, the neurological effects, physiological effects, represent the final component of my work. At the same time, I'm making sure that I understand the law and, most recently, government's role in what it's doing to homeowners.
I like the way you put that.
Well, there's no question that they have an impact here. Recent information has shown that there is a connection between tax gain and tax loss to homeowners, and that that also has an effect on the homeowner.
Well, it does, and a lot. I mean, in one of your papers, you said more people are asking for non-HOA housing, and that's true. The problem is in a lot of parts of the country, and I think Las Vegas is probably one of them. I know Northern Virginia, where I am, in the bulk of the housing is in an association. I think it's over 92% of all housing in Fairfax is in an association, largely because of the mandates, the municipal mandates.
Yes, this has been a well-orchestrated scam, in my opinion. It is a scam.
It is.
It's going on for about 40 years. It's become well-organized since about 1990. And the goal here is basically a money-making scam to force people to live in what I refer to as separate government within the government, so that when one becomes a member of a community, they literally sign their rights away, and those rights actually supersede the Constitution of the United States.
Well, there have been some cases where the Constitution has been raised and has been upheld. Coincidentally, one of them is in fines in two states, but you're right, unless you go to court every single time and take it to the ultimate appeal level, which would be the state or, you know, if you can get it to the U.S. Constitution or court, Supreme Court, it fails. I mean, you just run out of money, as you've pointed out in your letter, in your paper. The association's using your money and tons of it to fight you.
Yes, the actual member of the community pays membership to be a part of that community. That community then uses that money to sue you. And that money that's spent on suing you, the individual homeowner, in turn generates more income and more fees for the collection companies as well as the management companies. Hence the scam that's associated with this. And it's well organized, it's well orchestrated, and what I think is beginning to happen is that not only are property values beginning to become lower, but also people are beginning to move out of these communities in favor of moving into communities that are non-HOA managed.
I hear from a lot of people, and they say, I told my realtor not to show me anything in an HOA, but we couldn't find anything because for the last 20, 30 years, everything has been in an HOA. Virtually everything built today across the country is in an HOA.
Yes.
So it's difficult to find something that's not in an HOA.
It is, and it may require, as is the case here in Las Vegas, Nevada, that we have people leaving the state at a greater number now than they are arriving in the state. Now, this, of course, is economy-driven to some degree, but to another degree, people are leaving the state, I think, but do not have scientific proof, to get out of the oppressive nature of the HOA. The other problem is that they're now becoming violent environments. I'm now part of a murder trial in another state where I'm the expert witness, and violence has broken out in these environments to try and deal with it. But it has been very difficult because of the profit-making factor.
Well, one of the big profit-making factors that you haven't mentioned by name is the HOA attorneys.
Yes.
They're the ones who manipulate. They're the puppeteers. They're the ones who tell board members, look, if you don't enforce every little thing, you could be sued.
Yes.
When the board member says, I'm afraid that I might get sued, they said, don't worry about it. You're indemnified. You're not going to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, and, you know, the association will get sued. So, I mean, you know, they're talking out of both sides of their mouths,
And so the board members are a little bit afraid, and they do everything the attorneys tell them. And, of course, the only people who make out in this are the attorneys.
Yes, I completely agree with you. They are the marionettes of this, and they, in turn, are supported by a national organization.
Mm-hmm.
The reasons that I tend not to bring up attorneys as a profession is that I'm trying to avoid vilifying them because not all attorneys do this. So, if you will, I'm trying to avoid characterization. But in reality, it does appear that most collection companies are owned by attorneys who have entered into the environment as a profit-making picture.
Oh, they have. They absolutely have. And you're right. Not all attorneys are like that, but a sufficient number of them appear to be. And I've had some of them on the show. I've argued with some of them, and some of them are very nice. They're very decent people, so it's true. But I mean, you've got this situation where you do have everybody relies on the attorney for legal advice.
Yes.
And the attorneys have written.
I would say at the end of the day, though, that what makes this remarkable and unlike any other group that I've ever seen is that the people that induce this harm on their fellow neighbors are doing it for free.
Yeah.
So the individual board members receive no individual compensation, at least legally.
Yeah.
My interest lately has been to identify the psychiatric makeup of those individuals who would voluntarily join a board and then cause this harm. And as you saw in the first paper that I wrote, I did a lot of research in an attempt to identify terminology that might as closely as possible identify the behavior. And so I refer to these people on the board as CAPOs, C-A-T-O-S, which comes from the Second World War, which are those individuals who were prisoners of war but were assigned the task of maintaining that a prisoner. These people were oftentimes brutal. They did what they did for no compensation or possibly a crust of bread. But the harm that they instituted on their fellow prisoners was equal to or greater than the actual forces, in this case the Nazis themselves. The other component I identify is as you read, is barbed wire syndrome,
mm-hmm.
fever. And that is a fever that comes from living in these communities where people were once trying to get in. Now they're literally dying to get out. And I mean that in the literal sense. They can't sell their property. To get out of it, they literally have to die to get out of the community.
You know, the other thing that I was thinking as I read through both of your papers is that there really is no way to fix this, because you talk about the psychological effects that take a hold of the capos, as you will. And, you know, it's just part of human makeup?
Yes, it is. My current research on brain studies and the effect of stress on the brain is longitudinal, and it's backed up by very solid research out of major universities across the world, showing the effect that stress has on the body and the brain. And as it turns out, the way the brain functions, there are individuals who can induce stress so that they can relieve their own stress. By inducing stress on others, they get to feel better. Now, I don't think that that's a terrible surprise if we look at the hierarchy within our own society, that those people who are above other people can induce stress on those people who are lower than other people. If you will, the CEO that comes home and yells at his or her spouse, who in turn yells at the kids, who in turn kicks the cat as the cat chases the rat, as the rat chases, and so on. And so if we look at the hierarchy and the studies that have been have been done. The effect on the brain is enormous, and it is very likely that this particular population of people, in this particular case, the CAPOs, the people on the board, are consciously attempting to lower their own stress level by putting themselves above others. The other thing that becomes remarkable here is the reference that management companies making of themselves, referring to themselves as masters. This is extremely offensive to blacks, extremely offensive to women, knowing that there is a master above them. And yet they have, and I have no problem using this word, the audacity to refer to themselves as masters over other human beings.
The fact is that they're hired help, and you're right, they come in, they're the tail that wags the dog, and they decide that they're going to be the ones making all these decisions. And boards don't know what they're doing half the time. But do you see an end to this other than dismantling all the associations? There are a lot of groups out there that are trying to quote-unquote reform them or fix them. Can they be fixed?
They can at a pretty fundamental level. One way that they can be fixed is that the boards themselves, the communities themselves, has to decide that they no longer want to employ outsiders to manage them. That is, that they no longer want to engage a management company or a collection company to intervene within the community. If that event happens, the community goes back to what its intention was, and that to live as a community, a group of people deciding to live together. The other possibility, and I think it's the strongest possibility, is that there will be government intervention. I see a time when more murders will take place, more violence will take place, and at some point along the way, I don't think that they'll be able to operate below the radar. I think that the government in general will need to step in and say, we're going to put a stop to this. Now, what I am recommending is a 3-year moratorium on all fines and penalties. With that 3-year moratorium, it would give me the opportunity to identify and study stress level, including MRIs, blood samples, a wide range of studies of individuals living in HOA. With that information, I believe that I will be able to prove that people are literally being damaged, their lives are being shortened, and the quality of their lives is being altered to a significant degree. The other thing that will happen as a result of that is that by putting a moratorium on the fines, the management companies and the collection companies will not be able to survive, since they live off of the back of those individuals who live in the communities. There's no stream of income for them.
Yeah, that getting rid of them would be great. The problem, okay, going back to the moratorium on fines, there are two cases that in Virginia it went to the Supreme Court, and it's Gilman, and they're both on my website if you want to look at them.
You mention your website. Maybe the students could take a look if they wanted.
It's on the commons, onthecommons.us or .net. Net will take you to the archives. .us has got links to all the other things. So if you go to .us, you'll find the law library right there. And I've got the legal cases that favor the owners, instead of the ones that always favor the association, so that anyone who needs arguments or needs to look at what's been argued in the past can go there and pull that down and get it. But the reason that associations have been, or the fines have been deemed to be unconstitutional, is because you don't have the separation of powers. You have the same board members adopting the rules, the same board members deciding that you violated their precious rules, and the same board members that are assessing you fines. And then they have the power to go ahead and strip you of your house to collect that fine. I mean, it's unbelievable that this happens.
Yes, I do believe it is unbelievable. Although I believe it is a well orchestrated scam that has passed over decades, and that finding the origin of that scam is still part of the mission. But I don't know, as I said, that I have seen any other scam that has functioned at this level to this much detriment of fellow human beings within communities. Here is a side note with respect to the effect on that HOAs have. As it turns out, this HOA syndrome does not affect or does not have a significant effect on lower socioeconomic groups. In the end, the reason for that is that they tend not to live in someone's association. Therefore, this population, once the population that people were trying to isolate themselves from, is the very population that is now being saved from the effects of HOA.
One thing I'm curious about is that I get a lot of calls from homeowners who say, I'm afraid of going home, I'm afraid of checking my mail, I don't know what I'm going to find in it. How many of your students have been affected, or how does this affect the younger generation who grew up watching their parents come home and going, oh no, there's another letter from the association? What effect is that going to have, and what's that going to do to housing down the road? Are they going to be, are they going to be prepared to deal with this, or are they going to say, you know, I'm not going to do what my parents did, which is cower and shake every time the association says something? How is that going to affect future generations?
Well, I think you asked a great question in terms of a longitudinal study, and we don't have this data. I'm probably the only country, I'm the only individual in the country that's studying this in terms of its medical and psychiatric effects. As you are aware, one of the effects of HOA syndrome is the fear of going to one's own mailbox, the fear of going home, the fear of allowing one's children to play on the street, the fear of going into the neighborhood. But your question is an excellent question. How does it affect the future generation in terms of their psychological well-being? Let me put it out to the classroom. Does anybody in the classroom have a thought or an opinion about how this has affected you living in homes where your parents are bothered by your HOA? Anybody out there?
Can we get the speaker a little closer to the microphone, please?
Sure. Actually, I'm going to have her come up because of the way I set the baffling up. It's possible that you may not be able to hear as well.
We couldn't hear. So right now you're coming in really clearly.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
I am now currently in default of my HOA contract because we were supposed to get our backyard done in 12 months, close of escrow. And I am currently in this where I have to decide if I'm going to spend money on the backyard or if I'm going to spend money on the backyard.
Can't hear.
Are you able?
No, could you repeat what she said? We couldn't hear her.
Okay. How is this? Is this better?
You're coming in okay.
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 Yes.
I am in a HOA, and I'm currently in default of my contract because I had 12 months of close of escrow to finish the backyard, and we have not done that. And so they have sent me a letter saying that I need to get this done. And I'm in a predicament right now to decide if I'm going to spend the money on getting the backyard completed, which I think is kind of an extraneous thing as far as our finances right now, or can I use this money that we have to pay off the debt that we have? instead of putting it towards the backyard. So we have only gotten one letter so far, but yeah, we're probably anticipating another letter here in the future.
How does that make you feel?
Well, really, it's a little uncomfortable because I would rather pay off debt that has interest right now, because I think that would be in our best interest to get that paid off before we get the backyard done. Of course, I would like to get this done, but I don't think that they should have a say in how I do my finances and how, when do I get this completed? Because my backyard is my own personal property. Why are they concerned with that?
Dr. Solomon?
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is not an uncommon scenario, whether it's the pulling of a weed or whether it's a brown spot in the lawn or whether it is a garage door that's left open. People are driving around the neighborhood literally looking for ways to find their fellow neighbors, and in turn, this creates an income stream. And I don't see that stopping. What makes this situation complicated is that prior to 3 years ago, when the economy was moving forward, it was well orchestrated by the what are called the CC&Rs, which is the management device, are the ruling and governing documents for the homeowners association, allows them to foreclose on individual homeowners. Now, this well-orchestrated scam then gave people an opportunity to foreclose on people because they had a brown spot in the lawn, which made its way into management companies and collection companies who ultimately foreclosed or have the right to foreclose on the property. The huge profits were made on those pieces of property that were foreclosed on and then sold, and the individual investor, oftentimes the board members themselves, get the profits from the property. The victims here range from anybody, but very, very specifically on the elderly, because they felt like they could not defend themselves. But it gets more complicated from there. Once the individual is fined, that fine remains on the property, and if it's sold to somebody else, that fine then becomes part of the sale and is required by the new buyer to pay for it. In Nevada, we call it a super lease.
What they do is some states have said you cannot foreclose to collect a lien, and I believe Senator Mike Schneider in Nevada has also introduced that kind of legislation. But what associations will do typically is when you send in your assessment, they'll apply it to the fines and legal fees and all of that before they apply it to your assessment. And then they say you're delinquent on the assessment, which then gives them the right to go ahead and foreclose. And put on the check when you send in a check that this is for the assessment and not to be used on anything else.
Yes, and unfortunately, people are not educated about that.
They're not.
They don't know how to make the necessary note on file, and they're not exactly sure what that does, but that's absolutely correct. A check that is sent in for payment may be applied in any way they choose if you don't specify. So the warning to the listener would be to specify what it's to be used for, and also to note that all damages as a result of cashing and using the funds for other purposes will make the individual homeowner association liable. And I personally have three of those lawsuits pending right now. But my goal is to get them in front of a jury. I'm not interested in settling them out of court because I want to bring them to jury trial so it will be a louder statement and hopefully more public. In Nevada, we actually have a news channel that does a series on HOAs, referred to as the HOA Hall of Shame. And they literally are going out to HOAs, and they're looking at these various problems. So we do have that support out here.
You say you're an expert witness. You
testify on behalf of homeowners in associations? That's where your expertise is?
My expertise is in the field of psychology, and I could be an expert witness in any kind of problem related from post-traumatic stress disorder to various problems in psychiatry. Of late, my work has been focused on the psychiatric harm that has been caused on homeowners who live in homeowners associations. Would I allow myself to be hired by a homeowner's board, collection company, or management company? No. Could I be subpoenaed for it? I would expect that I will soon be subpoenaed to come and testify, and that they will want to tear apart my research. I understand that completely. I expect it.
But have you been an expert witness in HOA cases?
Not as yet. It's too new.
It's too new. Okay.
I have talked and lectured, but in terms of going before a jury trial or in terms of going on a deposition, the answer is no. The material is too new. It hasn't gotten that far yet.
What's it going to take to get it that far?
What is it going to take?
Yes.
It's going to take the fact that an individual is not willing to settle the matter out of court. Normally what happens is that the homeowner will go to the ombudsman, who may or may decide in the favor of the homeowner or not, at which time the board or the management company may or may not decide to settle. But at some point along the way, before it makes its way into a jury trial, it's taken off track or off calendar. I'm not willing to do that. There is no settlement offer that can be offered to me. I want it in front of a jury. I want it to be heard. I want it to go on record. And I want to make case law out of it.
A lot of the settlements include a confidentiality clause. In other words, we will settle with you, homeowner, as long as you promise never to tell anyone what happened in this room. And if you do, we will take all your money back.
That is correct. And I've been offered three of those.
Oh, you have?
I've turned them down. I'm not willing to do them.
Good for you.
These court cases will take 2 to 3 years, but they're all to matriculate into jury trial. This is not about the money. It can never be about the money. Anything worth fighting for has nothing to do with money. It is true that it is difficult to afford the legal process because the HOA boards are using their insurance companies, where the individual homeowner is using their own money. But if a statement isn't made, at least on a local level, nationally, the harm will continue to take place.
Here's another thing that happens when you have these settlements, is that there's a confidentiality clause, and so the neighbors end up paying.
Yes.
It ends up costing them money, and they are never told what they're paying for. In some cases, the settlement is huge, and if the board sort of did not stay within its limits, the limits that it was of its powers, then they have to pay cash for the deal. And to get that cash, they're going to have to go to the homeowners with a special assessment. And the homeowners never know what their money's going for. It's going to cover.
You are absolutely right. This actually has happened to me. I was preparing to sue a group of people, and those people came to me and said, please don't sue the board because they will turn around and raise our dues.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of fear that individuals will stand up for their rights. If we go back to our childhood, the logic is if one person leaves their seat, everybody will stay late. This kind of childhood behavior and ruling has made its way now into adult behavior, where adults are now afraid to stand up for themselves. And yes, you are correct. The board has very little incentive to do anything that is in the favor of the homeowner, because they're just going to turn around and fine the very homeowner for standing up for their own rights. So now the homeowners are pitted between each other to make sure that everybody stays in line. It's rather a beautiful thing.
It is. It really is. I want to talk a little bit about losing your individuality, because you kind of touch on that a little bit in understanding how good people turn evil. When you live in an HOA, you are no longer an individual. You are part of a collective. You know, you wear a uniform. You live in uniform houses. Some rules and regulations tell you what you're allowed to wear and what you're not allowed to wear. I don't know if any of you have run into that, whether you can have pets, how much your pets can weigh, how many pets you can, you know. I mean, it runs down the gamut. And as your student said, this is my backyard and it's my money and I should be able to decide how I spend my money.
Well, this is well documented in the experiments that I have noted in my research papers, one of them by Milgram, Stanley Milgram, who studied and was interested in how it was that people could treat the way they treated people in the concentration camp. And he did this through the electric shock experiments that are fairly well known. The other experiment that's well known is the Zimbardo experiment, wherein the individuals took on roles of prisoners or guards in prison camps. And actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, and your listeners may be interested in doing it, there's now a movement about it called The Experiment, and it's based on his study. The bottom line is this, that we have a lot of history that shows that this is the way that we treat each other. Some of my recent studies involving the cortex and the neocortex of the brain show that from an evolutionary process, we human beings may be becoming more violent than our lower animal relatives. That is to say that with a cortex, animals typically put each other under stress for the pure purpose of gathering food. That stress usually lasted between 2 to 4 minutes. The one animal after another is a high-stress situation, but when it's over, it's over. Now, as a result of situations, the HOA being the best example that I've ever seen of it, homeowners are now under stress 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're literally becoming physically and mentally ill because of it.
Well, you've got a whole listing of symptoms to look out for, and they affect both your mental and physical health. But you're right in terms of the violence. We're seeing a whole lot more of it, whether it's actual murders. I had a lady call me up and say the manager came to her house and started taking pictures of her and her kids while they were working in the yard. And when she went up and asked them what they wanted, they ran over her foot and drove off. So she was, you know, in pain and harmed, but what could she do? She called me and I said, call the police. And you end up with all of these police reports and he said and she said and nothing really happened. But
yeah.
You hear about people who are hit. There's out of Texas right now, there's an HOA that just went absolutely nuts and they started punching each other. I did an interview years ago with a reporter in Las Vegas. And he went to a board meeting and somebody punched him, took his camera. He was an elderly guy. They took his camera, tore out the film and punched him and knocked him down to the ground. So there's a history of violence, whether it's within the association and the members in the association, or whether it's anybody that comes in from the outside.
Uh-huh.
You know,
there's no question that it's increasing. I've been assaulted 3 times myself.
You have?
By being in these environments and not going along with the group. I one of the cases that I have is a case that, in fact, I will be taking before a jury. I'm not interested in settling. But the individuals on the board do seem to feel that they do have permission to do this, and they are operating at a level of government that is separate from the Constitution, but has really, in my opinion, transcended or superseded the Constitution of the United States, so that it's really a separate government entity.
Well, you do have several layers of government now, and HOAs are just one of them, probably the one that's the closest to you and the most damaging.
Yes.
I'm not sure how we... I don't see that this is a viable form of housing when push comes to shove. And just reading what you've written, it just doesn't seem that it's within our nature to be able to live under this sort of a regime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that we're pulling away from it. All the studies show that living in an HOA does not increase one's value. Living in an HOA does not alter the community different from other communities at identified socioeconomic levels or within a radius. It's just that people thought that living in an HOA had more value. And, of course, that's part of the scam. That's part of the sales technique, is to get people to believe that this is a more valuable concept. We are pulling away from it, but we have now an entire two generations of people who are stuck in these HOAs, and a large group of those people are the baby boomers. And the baby boomers are now aging, mm-hmm. and they basically feel powerless in these environments, and it becomes now more complicated because of the fact that we're living longer. Those baby boomers have children who in turn have children. So those children are now managing the people below them, their own children, and they're managing the people above them, their parents. And they're overwhelmed with stress and not able to maintain their own lives.
You talk about elder abuse, and you make an excellent case for it in HOAs. It's the elderly and also the weaker, the people who, the immigrants, who think they've broken a law and they're going to be deported.
Yeah.
Bully. I mean, it's the perfect bully setup, isn't it?
Yes, it is bullying at its finest point. It is something that I believe that the government supports. At a macro level, if we look at don't ask, don't tell, call it what you will, it's bullying. It's saying to a group of people, don't identify yourself as to what and who you are. At the HOA level, it is a group of people who have united and come together in an opportunity to bully others. From a psychiatric point of view, I think it's very possible that this represents a population of individuals who were bullied in childhood and now as adults get to become part of a group of people who now get to bully others.
Well, you know, you have a handful of people who may have been bullied, or maybe all of us to some extent have been bullied, but what's the psychological impact on losing your individuality, being told that you have to look and behave and act and have, and, you know, everything you do in life has got to be within these guidelines and these parameters. And if you want to go, and even if you want to do something that we tell you you can do, you have to get permission. You're adults, you're paying your mortgage. And you have to get permission to get a dog? You have to get permission to paint your shutters?
Yes.
What does that do to you?
I believe that the long-term effect we're beginning to see, and that we are now at the first time where we're now beginning to see a lifespan shorten in spite of science extending our lives. Now, is that connected to HOAs? It's going to be difficult to know for some time. Do I think that the shortened lifespan is related to stress? Yes, I do. And I think that people are under more stress than they ever have experienced before in their life. I think that people who live in homeowners associations are under more stress than people who do not live in homeowners associations. And one of the things I'd like to try and identify in my study is, do people who live in homeowners associations have a shorter lifespan than those people who do not live in homeowners associations? I suspect that they have a shorter lifespan.
It's funny, I've noticed that there's a lot more cancer. It's like right now everyone seems to have cancer. Everyone I know is in the hospital having something done. You have epidemic proportions of diabetes.
Yes.
And you're having these chronic diseases that you would have thought had been eradicated or that we had found cures for or were able to prevent, and all of a sudden there's a whole lot of it out there. I don't know if it's just me and I've just been noticing it, or if there is a real problem there.
There's no question that there is a proliferation. Centering in on the origin that is difficult, is it because we now have better diagnostic capabilities and therefore across the board we're diagnosing more problems, or are we able to identify the origin of those problems within certain communities? That is to say that we would expect communities that are lower socioeconomic communities to suffer more social post-traumatic stress disorder. However, now that we have HOA and HOA syndrome, we're beginning to recognize that stress levels in those communities is as much, if not greater. Then there is the group of people who is benefiting to a great deal financially and emotionally, the collection companies, the management companies, who in fact are benefiting from it, are able to lower their stress simply by generating more fines and more complications.
Do you know that they don't live in associations?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, they certainly know better than to live in the very problems that they themselves are creating. They're very similar to the drug lords who sell drugs but don't use drugs.
It's interesting because I'll have them on, and they'll spend an hour talking about how great HOAs are. And
yeah.
Then when I ask them if they live in one, they go, oh, me? You want me to live in one? No, I wouldn't do a thing like that.
Yes. Yes, the population that's very, very visible are the people who work in the building department. And as soon as they see that a property is in an HOA, they immediately express, boy, I would never live in an HOA, because they're inundated with the problem and the complications. Police are now drawn more to HOAs, and they're becoming micromanagers of social problems in HOAs versus problems that they might be dealing with on the street. Furthermore, there seems to be complications in utero of women who are pregnant, who may be having more problems with their pregnancy as a result of living in HOA communities.
Really?
Yes.
There was a bad case out of California, Simi Valley, a few years ago. And I know that some of the pregnant women miscarried because of the problems they were having, but I did not realize that across the board we were having those problems.
Yes. The studies are very clear, they're well done, and they are linking stress to in utero problems, children being born with various complications from diabetes to Tourette's as a result of stress-related problems. It is not a difficult leap to say that those women who live in HOA communities may be, in fact, giving birth to children who have more physical and psychological complications as a result of the stress that the mother is living in.
Let's fast forward 25 years. What does that say about the world that we're going to be leaving behind now that we've started these HOAs? I mean, you're talking about physically, emotionally handicapped people, children who aren't even born yet, and HOAs are the problem.
Yes. It is really a futuristic nightmare it's difficult to project the amount of damage and harm that people are going to be living under. It is, I would put it consistent with some science fiction movies that I have watched, although I would be criticized for comparing it to that, because people will immediately say that I'm using science fiction as a paradigm. But science fiction is always based on the minds of the individual writing the material, and therefore there is some truth to it. I would expect us to be a community of people who are damaged. I do describe this as hurt people hurting other people.
Yeah. Well, Oath of Fealty is a science fiction novel that sort of looks a little bit like an HOA, so there is that. You have Bentley Little, who wrote a book called The Association, and that's sort of more along the lines of Stephen King, but there's a little twist of science fiction in there at the very end. I've, in fact, interviewed Bentley Little. And you have a number of movies that have been made, The Colony for one, and TV shows that have been made about HOAs and the horrors and the abuses in HOAs.
Yes.
So you're not far off. It's not something that's totally never been thought about. It is something that's out there.
Well, an impact that something had from my own childhood was Rod Sterling's Twilight Zone. And I can remember when I was 13 years old watching an episode called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Drive. I am now using Rod Sterling's segment in my lecture to show how people are treating each other and the fact that it's people doing it to other people, and that they do it voluntarily, and they do it to induce harm and financial gain.
It's a sad commentary on our on humanity, isn't it?
It is. It is a horrible statement about our humanity.
We're running out of time. We're almost through with the interview, but I wanted to thank you, but I also wanted to know what we can do to help you move this theory along and make it a much more widely accepted theory.
Remember, put it to document all of the events that are happening within your life. Keep a journal. Number two, make sure that any documentation that you create is sent to the HOAs via certified mail. Do not send mail by regular mail or by email. Number three, whenever possible, I invite people to send me their individual cases. And I'll be glad to give you my email address. It's drgarysolomon@gmail.com. I am compiling as much as I can, and that will be issued in the form of a book that will come out around this time next year. The intent of that book will be to give the government, as well as individuals and an attorney, a vehicle to fight against what's going on. My fear is that we are creating a situation that is going to turn in cases into mass murder.
Wow, that's that's not a pretty picture, is it?
I don't think it's a pretty picture, and it's all people. Anybody can be pushed to the edge. Most people in their life have had the thought, if I'd had a gun, I would have killed him.
Yeah.
Concern now is those people who are going out and buying guns, not for protection, but rather with the intent of killing people who are on boards and management companies of HOA.
It's happening.
It is happening.
It's happening across the country. It's happening. And they're finding bodies, and they don't know. In HOAs, they don't know if it's HOA related or not. But
yes. And suicide.
Yes, a
people
lot of suicides.
People cannot tolerate it. They don't know what to do. And so they take their own lives as a solution to the problem.
That's true. Dr. Solomon, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I thank you. My class thanks you for a different experience in their semester. And if there's anything I can do to help, please don't hesitate to call.
I will. I'd love to. And good luck to your students. I hope they're all going to end up specializing in HOA syndrome in the future, yes?
You know what? I have no doubt that some of them will take that direction.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.